Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Flora and Fauna. OC Bugs and Blooms opens kids' eyes to nature. Kids in Odessa College's Bugs and Blooms camp are learning about local flora and fauna while having fun. The camp instructor is Tina White, who is also teaching archery with her daughter, bullet journaling, and scrapbooking. There were 9 campers in Bugs and Blooms, which ended June 20th. Bugs and Blooms culminated with a field trip to the Sibley Nature Center in Midland. Every day we take a nature walk. The kids have their own nature journal and pencil, and they carry those around on our nature walks. They record either by drawing or writing what they see and experience, White said. On June 18th, they talked about spirals in nature, like pumpkin seeds, and they also found dandelions. Each day on our nature walk, we look for something in particular. Today, we were looking for leaves, and they didn't know why they were looking for leaves. We were just gathering leaves, and whenever we came back, they traced that onto paper and outlined it with permanent black marker, and then used watercolors and painted the leaf, and then painted the outside. It's a stained glass effect. So they got to kind of preserve those leaves by painting them, White said. They also toured the Atmos Energy Pantry Gardens at Odessa College, which provides fresh produce to students and their families. It was really neat. The kids ate some amaranth, which is like a lettuce. It's a green leafy plant that is from Africa. The kids got to taste that and experience a plant from a different country. I taught them about ornamental plants, and that is something you do not eat. An ornament as a decoration. They just are pretty to look at, White said. We germinated radish seeds. We talked about germination, spacing, seed depth, dates of maturity, and in 21 days, they'll have a radish. We're germinating the seeds today. Wednesday, July 19th, they will plant them, and hopefully we will have little plants. And then in about 17 days, they'll be able to eat a radish, hopefully. That's the point of it, she said. Campers also painted clay pots and learned to plant a plant. On their nature walk, a maintenance man pulled a sunflower, and the kids got to examine it. Everyone was so excited to see the sunflowers, and we talked about how they follow the sun, and it's a food source. It's not just a flower, it's a food source. You get sunflower seeds from them. When we went to the gardens, they had sunflowers over there, and they had different varieties. They had a red sunflower, they had a purple sunflower, so the kids got to see that there's different varieties. It's still the same thing, but they look different, White said. They also talked about weeds and how they are not planted. They found a wild morning glory vine. On their nature walk Wednesday, the kids looked for pine cones and sticks to make roses from. They came back and painted the sticks green and painted the pine cones another color and glued them together to look like a rose. Adam Lucio, Sports Center coordinator at the Sports Center, said the cool thing about this camp and the others is that they can familiarize themselves with other parts of the campus. They're not just here at the Sports Center. They get to go on their nature walks. They get to go to the Spur Building. And whether it's for scavenger hunts or nature walks, or to go check out the garden, they get to familiarize themselves with that, which really entails, again, trying to make ourselves inclusive to the whole community. When they come with their parents, they know that's where I went to go do my nature walk. They took us to the garden there. So hopefully they feel more comfortable with the campus, Lucio said. If we can reach even one student or one family, it's beyond just camp and the great stuff that they're doing here this week. It's giving them an idea for the future, he added. Hazel Wyall, Daniel Almedia, Harper DeLuna enjoyed the camp. Wyall 7, who goes to Hayes STEAM Academy, said she liked learning about plants, painting stuff, and going on the nature walks. DeLuna 9 goes to Compass Academy Charter School. I like learning about the plants, DeLuna said. Quick hits. Treaty Oak Revival. Treaty Oak Revival is scheduled in concert at 8 p.m. June 28 at Midland Horseshoe Arena. Tickets are available online at midlandhorseshoe.com. 4th of July Parade. The 3rd Annual Lions of Odessa 4th of July Parade is scheduled at 10 a.m. July 4th. The parade will begin at 17th and Texas Avenue and then head south on Texas to 9th Street. Prizes will be awarded for best floats. Email odlcparade@gmail.com or call 335-0234 for more information. Celebrate the 4th. American Legion Post 430, 2701 East 8th Street, has scheduled a 4th of July celebration from 9 p.m. to 6 p.m. July 4th. The event will include free hamburgers and hot dogs, a watermelon eating contest, cornhole, and foam pit. Sesame Street Live. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present Sesame Street Live on June 25th. The doors will open at 5 p.m. and the event will start at 6 p.m. Tickets start at $31.50. Civilian Response to an Active Shooter Event, CRACE. The Odessa Police Department's next Neighborhood Watch meeting is scheduled for 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 25th, in the OPD Classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue. CRACE training will be taught and are conducted by OPD on a regular basis to businesses and churches seeking more knowledge about how to prepare for an active shooter situation. They also provide an assessment of where you stand in terms of preparation and what steps you can take to improve overall safety. Help a Hero. From Thursday, July 4th through Wednesday, July 31st, Bubba's 33 locations in Midland and Odessa will partner with Homes for Our Troops to raise money to help build specially adapted custom homes for severely injured post 9/11 veterans. For every Patriot Burger purchased, Bubba's 33 will donate $1 to Homes for Our Troops. Donations will also be accepted for Homes to Our Troops at all locations. ICA donates to help Rio Doso fire victims. The ICA Help Your Neighbor program on Thursday made a $100,000 donation to Rio Doso, New Mexico wildfire disaster relief efforts. The donation was made on behalf of all ICA team members, especially those of our MCM Elegante Lodge and Resort in Rio Doso, a news release from ICA detailed. John Bushman, CEO of ICA, said it's a family community and that many in the Permian Basin have homes or vacation homes there. We all love Rio Doso. We're helping those folks in Rio Doso with help of our neighbor program. We have a hotel there. This is not going to our hotel, but to show we value all of the residents there. We want to contribute to their well-being. Bushman said the check will be presented by the Rio Doso Hotel General Manager this week, and the money will be wired immediately rather than days down the road. We are thankful for people of Odessa Midland and all their help they may give. He said donors can drop a donation by the mall office, the Elegante, Fundome, or ICA Corporate at 700 North Grant Street, Suite 600. Make it out to the Rio Doso New Mexico Fire Relief Fund. The wildfires have devastated the Rio Doso area. A second person was confirmed dead as a result of the South Fork Fire and the Salt Fire in Rio Doso, New Mexico on Wednesday, KTSM reported. New Mexico State Police identified one of the victims as Patrick Pearson, 60, who was found dead near the Swiss Chalet Motel located at 1451 North Meekum Road on Tuesday, June 18th. He was found on the side of the road. State police said Pearson sustained numerous burns from the fire and died as a result of his injuries. We are at a loss for words, and we are so heartbroken that this happened, family friend Christina Alvarez told KTSM. State police also confirmed a second death, stating that they found a person in the driver's seat of a burned vehicle on Rainier Road during the South Fork Fire just before noon on Tuesday. Tuesday in Ruidoso. State police say the person is unidentified at this time due to the person's condition being skeletal remains. No legible identification documents were located in the burned vehicle, state police said. The South Fork fire was last estimated to be at more than 16,335 acres with 0% containment. The Salt fire is estimated at 7,071 acres, also with 0% containment, according to the New Mexico Forestry Division. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham declared a state of emergency on Tuesday for Lincoln County and the Mescalero Apache Reservation due to the wildfires, and also deployed National Guard troops to the area, according to her office. Grisham, Representatives Gabe Vasquez and Melanie Stansberry, along with the Mescalero tribe officials and other stakeholders, were briefed by Otero County officials on the relief status of the wildfires on Wednesday. State local leaders briefed on firefighting progress for Ruidoso wildfires. The representatives said they anticipate evacuations and relief efforts to span across a timeline of weeks as the community reels from the devastation. In addition to threats from the wildfires, the National Weather Service has also issued flash flood emergencies for parts of the southern New Mexico area on Wednesday. Many of the areas that experienced flash floods were those affected by the fires. An estimated 8,000 people have been evacuated from the area, and the village of Ruidoso continues to be under mandatory evacuation. Ruidoso Downs was also ordered to evacuate on Tuesday evening. Students get hands-on conservation experience. Led by Evelyn Guerrero and Jackson McAndrew, the 2024 Conservation Job Corps program at the I-20 Wildlife Preserve is a chance for high school students to get hands-on experience in conservation, restoration, education, and research before heading to college. The program runs the entire month of June. It blends life skills lessons, such as learning to use tools, with classroom instruction and hands-on exploration and observation. Students will work on the preserve and take a series of field trips across the state, a news release said. Accepted into the class were Young Women's Leadership Academy students Marina Garcia, Allison Grant, Casey Huang, Melanie Gutierrez Parra, Legacy High School student Rahim Mohammed, and Midland High School students Ileana Aguila, Camille Neff, and Kevin Vergara. A University of Texas Permian Basin senior, Guerrero is the intern education coordinator for the I-20 Wildlife Preserve, as well as a staff leader for the Job Corps this June. McAndrew is the conservation land manager at the I-20 Wildlife Preserve and one of the staff student leaders. McAndrew said they chose students from Midland High School, Legacy High School, and the Young Women's Leadership Academy. "We have a good group of those three schools," he said. "Most of the time, the students' day starts at 7:30 a.m. at the preserve doing an outdoor activity or working on a conservation project. Then at 11:30, we break and we go to the library or Midland Shared Spaces office to do a planned curriculum that me and Evelyn have prepared. Today's curriculum is going to be identifying all these plants and trees that the students observed today, and we're going to press those flowers," McAndrew said. "When we're not doing the day-to-day routine, we do visit multiple different organizations throughout the program, all centered around conservation," he added. They visited Borderlands Research Institute, Marathon Grasslands Preserve that was protected by the Nature Conservancy, and also visited a former employee of the preserve, Emmy Ulmschneider, who lives sustainably in Midland. "This week, we're going to be visiting Texas A&M Forest Service. We're going to visit with the Caprock Task Force, a part of it, who do a lot of wildfire management around the Panhandle and throughout Texas. They're even outsourced work to California to fight those fires, and I'm sure they're shooting people to New Mexico," McAndrew said. Guerrero plans to graduate from the University of Texas Permian Basin in May. And McAndrew has an associate degree in business management from Midland College. I got here through volunteer work before college, and now in college I conduct a pollination network research project out here. That's how I really got involved with the people who managed the preserve and ended up working here, she added. McAndrew started volunteering at the preserve to get hours for his legacy scholarship at Midland College. Having students to teach is a learning experience for Guerrero and McAndrew. The Job Corps was piloted last year, Guerrero said. We learned a lot from the first year, and we're learning a lot from this year, but it's definitely improved my leadership skills, McAndrew said. As an aspiring scientist, Guerrero said it is very valuable to her to mentor young students and give them advice and knowledge that she didn't have as a student. One thing that we're realizing are from Evelyn's experience is a lot of these field tasks, such as collecting flowers for plant presses or collecting insects and pinning them for research, she didn't learn until she was a sophomore in college. So getting these high school students hands-on experience with the field work and the more hands-on activities, the conservation, we're hoping to really spark interest and create lifetime conservationists, McAndrew said. Guerrero said the students have an innate curiosity about science, but they have seen that grow just in the 2 weeks they have been part of the Corps. They have really taken on the skills that we've taught them and use them already in their personal lives, and then continue asking questions about the things that they see out here. A big part of what we want to teach is ecology and conservation. Ecology, like how things are interacting. That's a really important thing that we want to expose them to. But we're also the Job Corps, so we really focus on careers as well, Guerrero said. Young Women's Leadership Academy students Marina Garcia and Eleni Gutierrez-Para are enjoying themselves. Garcia said she is figuring out if she wants to go into environmental engineering. This is the perfect program for me to explore my options, get a better idea of what I want to do as a future career, especially since if I'm looking to go into a future career in Midland, Texas, I don't want to do oil and gas, Garcia said. The Corps took Gutierrez-Para out of her comfort zone. Lately, I've been trying to push myself out of my comfort zone, and this seemed like the perfect opportunity to do it, Gutierrez-Para said. She added that it's like a free trial. Garcia said the program is definitely not what she thought it was going to be. I feel a lot better now than I did at the beginning of the program. I'm not as afraid of bugs as I was. I think the program's really great because it's taught me a lot of new things, Garcia added. Obituaries and death notices. Kenneth Richard Archer. Kenneth Richard Archer, age 96, of Marble Falls, Texas, passed away on Sunday, June 16, 2024. He was born on March 7, 1928, near Gordon in Erath County, Texas. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. A visitation for Kenneth will be held Monday, June 24, 2024, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home Directors, 4635 Oakwood Drive, Odessa, Texas, 79761. A graveside service will occur Tuesday, June 25, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens, 6801 East I-20 Business Loop, Odessa, Texas, 79762. Jimmy Don McNeil. Jimmy Don McNeil, 84, of Odessa, died Monday, June 17, 2024, in Odessa, Texas. Funeral service was held at 10 a.m. June 21, 2024, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Carolyn Ann Miller. Carolyn Ann Miller, 78, of Watauga, died Sunday, June 16, 2024. Funeral service was held at 10 a.m. on Monday, June 24th, at Ellis Funeral Home. Gennaro Alberto Moncayo. Gennaro Alberto Moncayo, 59, of Odessa, died Wednesday, June 19, 2024, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. June 25, 2024, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. ECISD students recognized with awards. Five Ector County ISD students were presented with Pathways by One Objective scholarships and an additional scholarship in honor of Anthony Bolton on Wednesday. The Anthony Bolton Scholarship honors Bolton's legacy by supporting students who have shown resilience, leadership, and dedication to their studies, a news release said. Director of College and Career Readiness, Rico Enriquez, said the Pathways by One Objective Scholarship recognizes students who have demonstrated academic excellence, personal strength of character, and perseverance. Recipients were in their senior year of high school. They were Rihanna Coker from Odessa Collegiate Academy, who is going to Texas Southern University. Ivania Montesino Rios, a Permian High School graduate who will be going to Odessa College to start, and then University of Texas Permian Basin. Alexia Noda Rodriguez, a PHS graduate who will be starting at Odessa College. Kubra Kokak, a New Tech Odessa graduate who will be going to UT Austin, and Ashlyn Elliott, a PHS graduate who will be going to Sam Houston State University. They will each get a $5,000 scholarship. Jeremy Willard of One Objective said the organization started almost 5 years ago by a group of men in the community from various backgrounds that had various challenges throughout life. Their goal was to come together as a way of supporting ECISD students and show them a positive pathway to success in areas outside of athletics or entertainment. They hold fundraisers throughout the year. One of them is a golf tournament, and that's where they get most of their funds, Willard said. We want to show them that there are hardworking individuals in all areas and walks of life, that you can make a positive impact on your community, and it doesn't have to be in these particular areas. It can be elsewhere. So the idea behind the scholarship was to give these students a pathway to their success, Willard said. Part of getting the scholarship was to write an essay. They looked at GPA, extracurricular activities, whether they were work-related or in school. Willard said all the essays were very well written and that it was tough to decide on scholarship recipients. He added that the students will make a positive impact on the community and the world at large. Enriquez said essays had to be 250 to 500 word essays describing adversity they had gone through or something they had overcome in their lives, the way to accomplishing their high school graduation, and ultimately acceptance into college. Students who are in 12th grade are eligible for the scholarship, and they needed to be accepted to a college or university already, Enriquez said. Texas DPS named in lawsuit following crash by Kim Smith. An Odessa couple has filed a lawsuit against the Texas Department of Public Safety in connection with a pursuit that ended with a crash in their driveway 2 years ago. According to the lawsuit filed Monday in Ector County District Court, Magdalena Kozurek was sitting in her vehicle in her driveway on West Sunset Lane, July 4, 2022, when Trooper Dakota Cole, 22, lost control of his patrol car while traveling more than 70 miles an hour down Whitaker Avenue. The patrol car struck a curb, crossed Sunset Lane, went off the road and into Kozarek's GMC Acadia and another car in the driveway, the lawsuit stated. Cole's vehicle then went through a brick fence and came to rest in a neighbor's backyard. According to the lawsuit, other troopers arrived on scene and helped Cole before eventually realizing Kozarek was injured in her vehicle. She was attended by paramedics who persuaded her that she did not need to be taken to the hospital, the lawsuit stated. The next day, she sought medical treatment and was diagnosed with a concussion and severe aggravation of a previous neck and back injury. She still suffers from neck and back pain that is so great she needs periodic injections. After the crash, DPS sent out a statement stating the trooper crashed while pursuing the driver of a 2019 Nissan who fled when he tried to pull him over for a traffic violation. At the time of the news release, the driver hadn't been found. COSEREC's attorney, Mark Threadgill, and Stuart Starry of Midland argue in their lawsuit that DPS is not immune from being sued because Cole was not in compliance with the laws and ordinances applicable to emergency action and or was acting with conscious indifference or recklessness, disregarding the safety of others. They further allege no other trooper under the same circumstances would have pursued the driver of the Nissan. COSEREC and her husband Paul are seeking $250,000 to $1 million in damages, alleging reckless and gross negligence. They want damages for pain and suffering, mental anguish, physical impairment, lost wages, medical expenses, loss of consortium, loss of household services, and cost of the lawsuit. Man facing aggravated assault charge. A 39-year-old Ector County man was arrested last week after a woman accused him of threatening to stab her. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a report of a man with a knife in the 2600 block of Gemini on Thursday, June 13th. When they arrived, a woman told them she heard a disturbance, and when she came outside, she saw David Lee Bishop was displaying an open pocket knife toward a 46-year-old man, and he then threatened to stab her with it, the report stated. Deputies found a knife in Bishop's possession and arrested him on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and possession of a controlled substance. He remained in custody Wednesday on surety bonds totaling $65,000. Odessan sentenced following wife's death. An Odessa man accused of setting fire to a house and murdering his wife nearly 4 years ago pleaded guilty to negligent homicide earlier this month and was sentenced to 2 years in state jail. According to Ector County District Court records, Rito Castro Saniga, 53, was indicted on a manslaughter charge on June 8, 2021, for allegedly placing a locking mechanism on the outside of a trailer's only door, preventing his wife Terry from escaping a fire on December 13, 2020. Court records show that case was dismissed when Suniga was indicted in May 2024 on two counts of first-degree murder in his 52-year-old wife's death. According to that indictment, Suniga started the trailer fire and/or locked her inside the trailer and caused her death. Suniga pleaded guilty and was sentenced June 12th. According to her obituary, Terry Suniga, who married Rito Suniga in March 1996, was a waitress, mother of six, and grandmother of 20. Pet of the Week. Easton, a 10-month-old light tan and white male corgi mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. Sunny, a 3-month-old light tan male chihuahua mix, needs to also be adopted into a good home. To adopt Sunny or Easton or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 2230 West Sycamore. Call 432-257-4311. Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $75. To help support Humane Society Odessa, donations are welcome. Donations will go toward kennels, cat house, and adoption center.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.